This is the home of the Goat Tracker. Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050. Making your drive home a lot more fun.
Hour 2 Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. It's a beautiful day out there. A lot of people looking forward to the weekend. I'm not sure Chris Colabello is, though. The big news in the city today, Colabello suspended 80 games without pay by Major League Baseball for testing positive for a performance-enhancing drug. And he's come out and claiming that he has no idea how or why this happened. And
I spent the last several days trying to wonder how or why. Just no idea.
No clue how it could have
happened. Except that tub of whatever pills on your counter. Like, I don't know. Maybe we're just oversimplifying it. Maybe there is something more to it.
He would have mentioned it.
You know, I know, but I want somebody to come out on the end the other way, like being like, it was a mistake. It was a mistake of the tester or something. You know what I mean? Like, it never happens.
Well, what you would need
is wishful thinking.
You would need the tester to come out and say, no, sorry, I made the mistake.
Right, right.
No one's ever going to believe these guys because we've been down this road way too many times.
That's my point.
With Major League Baseball. Like, you look at how many of them claimed it didn't happen, and then sure enough, they're like, yeah, you got me.
Yeah, you got
Ryan Braun, A-Rod. Like, it happens all the time.
Right.
And Colabello, he was taking some drug that no one's ever heard of before. And it's kind of sad in a way because he was a journeyman. He was a guy 3-4 years ago playing in leagues you've never heard of before. Was a waiver wire pickup a year ago and had a career season, had an impact season last year. And now he's done for the next 80 games. Who knows what kind of a player he's going to be when he gets back.
Right.
And if he's playing clean, can he hit for power? Can he be an impact batter?
Right.
I mean, the one thing I would say is they can replace Chris Colabello. They can live and survive without Colabello. If this was Donaldson today or Bautista today, the city would be up in flames.
Dude, there would be CNN posted up in front of the Sky Dome.
Like helicopters and stuff.
It would be a circus.
You think it would be a circus? Like, what's...
Oh, my God.
Where's the line? Where's the line on that team where you're like, nah, it's breaking news. Is Colabello the line?
Anyone that gets, you know, clipped for 80 games for taking PEDs is going to be a big story. But then you consider the impact of the player and the profile of the player.
But if it's too low?
Oh, it'd be massive.
Big story.
Absolutely. I mean, again, if it was Donaldson or Bautista, you're talking about where the season is going to go now. And then you start looking back. The reality of a situation like this is immediately you start to look back and you wonder how long he's been taking it,
right?
Whether or not that's really why he had success. And that's what happens with all these guys, understandably so.
This almost goes into the individual, though. How is he going to handle this? How is he going to come back?
Yeah.
Like the team, it's not like what's the team, how's the team going to react, because he's a bit piece. It's about him and how he handles the situation.
And his career. Could his career be in jeopardy?
Absolutely.
It could.
They move past him in 80 games. He doesn't get back in the lineup when he's eligible, and he could flush that contract pretty quickly.
By all means. They have no commitment long term to Chris Colabello.
I don't know if this is a complete D-bag move as management, but if anybody on my team, a bit player that's just hanging on, well, not hanging on, but a small player, a small piece of the puzzle. This happens, I'm going to look into any way to cut bait. I don't want the distraction, and I'm going to cut bait.
Well, you're certainly not leaving a spot open for him. Like, you know, if he comes back and you need a right-handed bat and he's healthy and prepared and he goes out there and performs, great.
Right.
But let's say they go on a tear without him and they pick up someone or they call someone up and he starts lighting up. That guy's not leaving when Colabello returns.
No. Right.
I mean, Chris Colabello just simply has not built up enough of a reputation to deserve that kind of treatment. Like, again, he had a great year last year.
Right.
And he's a guy you want to root for based on his story. And he's been on this show multiple times. He's a really fun, nice guy by all accounts.
You pull for him.
But
He made a mistake.
He got caught for it. And this may derail his career. And I think that also might be a part of his decision to claim ignorance here. Like, I don't think anyone's going to buy it. And I think if you do buy it, you're incredibly naive. Incredibly naive. But he may be thinking, I've got to put forth this public image so that people will believe I can do this clean. Because immediately you start thinking, okay, he's on the juice last year. That's why he did what he did. And when he's clean, who's going to want this guy?
Right.
Right? Like, it's it could be a really life-changing moment for him. Let's bring in Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray on Overdrive is a presentation of Sierra Sojourn Formula 14. I don't know if you're familiar with this Chris Colabello news, Ray.
I read it about a half hour ago. When I saw it, Brian, I went, no, not him. Because I felt like he's a... Like, I wanted him to do well. His story of scraping around the independent league and all that.
Right.
You know, and it just... it's complicated. I don't even... Like, how would something accidentally get in your system these days? I don't get it.
Doesn't happen. Especially this kind of a drug. Like we were saying earlier, like the Olympic legislations where you can't take, like, Sudafed or something. Like, maybe I'll grant you that. But this, according to Rick Westhead, was a drug developed by East German scientists. Like, dude, you got to go deep into a black market to pick this kind of stuff up. This isn't sold over the counter.
The other thing, too, is I'm not familiar with the drug testing policy for Major League Baseball, but how do the guys think they're going to get they're going to skim through? Like, I don't know how often they get tested. They certainly don't get tested as much as the Olympic athletes do. Like, the Olympic athletes, I saw it with Cammy, like, it's crazy how randomly and how often they can get tested. But I think it's more scheduled and protected by the players' union. So maybe they think there's a window that they can use. I don't even know. It's so complicated. And the answer is, if you get caught, man, you're going to take a large kick in the shins. Remember when Ryan Braun won the MVP and was adamant that he never took anything for months? Months. And then he said, oh, yeah I did.
Well, and because of that, in this world of baseball, you're naturally cynical as a fan. It's always guilty until you somehow prove you're innocent, because people have been down this road so much with Braun, with A-Rod. I mean, so many guys claimed that they misremembered, and, oh, I don't think that happened. And then all of a sudden, yeah, okay, you caught me. I mean, that's the kind of way it works here. And Chris Colabello is going to deal with the same routine, and we talked about his decision to come out and claim ignorance and claim that he has no idea how or why this would have happened and he'd never do it on purpose. This is an all-time hypothetical, but if you were somehow in this position, do you think you'd decide to go down that road? Like, how difficult would it be for you to come out and just say, you caught me, it happened, here's why I did it, I want to move on from it? Because that's ultimately the way it usually actually works out for you in the end. Going the Andy Pettit route, going the Jason Giambi route. Those guys, people quickly forgot because they said, yeah, you got me, I apologize, let's move on, and people did move on.
Remember when they went to Congress, and I can clearly see Palmeiro banging his fist on the table and saying, I never used steroids, and he was ridiculed after. And the Pettits of the world who said, yeah, I was using it for whatever reason, I don't know if it was a second chance or they were given some understanding. It would be, God, I don't even know. How hard would it be? I think it would be really hard to say, you know what? I did it. You know, I think it would be really hard. I don't know. Like that. Because you're not going to, the only thing you would gain by saying you did it would be the public perhaps would give you, I think the public generally will give people a second chance. But what if, I don't know, what if he didn't do it? Like, what if he didn't do it on purpose? I don't even know anymore. Like, it seems to me, when I see testosterone that 42-letter word that he, for the drug, it seems to me like you would have to take it. It can't be in the bottom of a protein barrel.
No.
Right,
because when we all started taking protein on a regular basis, it was kind of around the mid 90s, I would guess. Man, we were just buying stuff from any protein shop you could get, right? No, I never checked anything. I never worried about anything. I just took whatever was there, right? Like I found the protein that tasted the best, that I could get the most grams of protein in my body in as few drinks as possible. Like, that's what I was looking for. I needed calories and I needed protein. But I couldn't tell you what was in it. I had no idea. No idea. And I think most players are probably, even today, still like that.
Are you trusting?
Well, but that's...
At GNC.
That's your own fault.
Not going online. Like, I don't know, Ray. I mean...
Yeah, but you could get stuff at GNC. I know that's when, you know, back in the McGuire days when he was taking Andrew Dostine, like, guys were buying stuff. They didn't have the quality control, I don't think, that they have today. I think would be the safest way of saying it, I think.
I think you're probably right about that. I also think the profile of the player likely factors into how they're going to handle the PR. And what I mean by that is if you're a great player who's got 3 years left on your deal and tons of money coming anyway, it's probably easier for you to say, yeah, okay, I did it. When I come back, I'm going to play again. I'm getting paid. There's nothing the team can do. When you're a nobody, essentially, like Chris Colabello is, who's not getting paid a lot of money and has no guarantees from the team, I can maybe understand why he might say, I've got to try to convince them that I'm clean. Like, what I did last year was 100% legit. And I'm sure that would factor into his mentality, because this is not guaranteed money. He's always on one-year deals, and he's got no arbitration rights, and he's barely getting paid, relatively speaking, in the baseball world.
Well, him struggling at the beginning of the year can only hurt his cause, too. People are like, this guy can't play without it.
Well, exactly.
And so, but just two things on that, is one, he found out in the middle of March, and can you imagine the mental gymnastics he was doing since that time, knowing this is coming out somewhere?
Yeah.
Right? Like, maybe, like, I think it would stress my performance if I knew that was coming down the pike somewhere. And number two is, he's got an 80-game trial for his career when he comes back. That's it.
That's right.
Like, if he has an excellent second half, then he might save his baseball career. But if not, they're going to, you know, I mean, it would be hard to imagine that he's, you know, he's going to sweep into somebody's training camp next year and get a guaranteed one-year deal. That would, I mean, this is a, man, this is a, it's a tough spot for him, boy.
It really is. And we've interviewed him multiple times. He's a really good, fun guy. And it's tough because you really root for him considering where he came from and how he built up his career. But Chris Colabello suspended for 80 games by Major League Baseball. Did you ever play with a player who something ended up coming out, whether it was him testing positive or something in his personal life, where then you look back on it and said, yeah, that makes sense why this guy's been a little bit off?
Yep, absolutely.
Really?
100%. And you put the, you know, I'm certainly not going to name the guy, but you put the pieces together and you were like, oh, how the hell did we not see that? Like, how could we not have been sharper? Maybe we could have helped. You know, like, it just all kind of clicked itself together. Like, I even look back to, you know, back in the day when you read something about a player and say, you know, Joe Blow came back in great shape this year. He put on 23 pounds in the summer. And we were all like, wow, he really worked hard. Like, that's how dumb and naive we were. Like, who the hell puts on 23 pounds in 3 months?
I did.
Not an ounce of muscle, though.
Yeah, I did 26 in two. Yeah, but
that was beers and wheels.
Yeah, I was in England eating myself out of the league.
26 pounds?
Yeah, I played around 200. I stepped on the scale when I got home during the lockout there. I went to England for 2 months. I was 226. It was embarrassing. It was awful.
Did you not notice when you had to jump from the second story to get into your pants? They're like,
I don't know. I mean, at that point, you're wearing a lot of sweatpants and shorts, aren't you, in the summer? I don't know. It took me a while. I mean, you know, it's like if you get heavy, you know it right away. And then all of a sudden, I was doing like two-a-days for like 2 weeks straight just to try and you know, get back into striking distance. So it took me all summer to get back to 200 pounds.
Man, you are a grit grinder. If you start running out of space in the track pants, that's when you know you've had yourself a few months.
If that string right at the end, or in the front there, is right at the end, you can't even knot it up.
You are in serious trouble. Yeah. If you have to flex your bicep to pull that string, you need to check yourself.
big time. So a lot of people today in the hockey world debating whether or not the Blackhawks have really made a series out of this, or was it just, you know, Crawford kind of stood on his head, the Blues couldn't get lucky, and the Blues are going to end it in six, because I thought St. Louis was definitely the superior team last night. And sure, the Blackhawks big boys showed up, Hossa had himself a game, Kane with a big goal, Taves was much better as well. But I've been very impressed with St. Louis. I mean, I'm still leaning towards them winning this series. Where do you stand on it?
I am. I'm a little. I would be a little concerned that, you know, you weren't able to finish at home in a place where you had, you know, it seemed like you had them scrambling around a bit. Yet there you were down 3-1 again. You know, like, how quick that happened. They were down 3-1. I'd be worried that you missed a really good chance, a great chance. But they shouldn't feel like they're, you know, that they have any doubts that they're at least Chicago's equal and have probably been better throughout the series. Like, St. Louis, in my opinion, deserves to be up 3-2.
Yep.
And now they got to go on the road, and they're a really good road team, and, you know, you sure as heck don't want to go back for Game 7, that's for sure.
I agree. Did you, at the starting of the playoffs, have the Tampa Bay Lightning being the first team to finish off and go through to round two?
Well, no chance. I want to say that series was almost picked, when you look at all the guys around that were picking series, that was almost 50-50. Like, yeah. Without Stamkos and Stroman, I think almost everybody felt that just became a pick-em series. And last night, again, like, the elimination games 2 years in a row for Detroit. In Game 7 last year, they outshot Tampa 31-16. They should have won. Bishop was unreal. And last night, how many breakaways did Detroit get? Four?
Yeah, they had three in a row.
Three breakaways and two goalposts. And, you know, and they get nothing. You know, they just... Their power play was certainly ineffective for them. They had plenty of chances that they could be playing today. But, you know, what did Cooper say? That, you know, Bishop played an A-plus game. Detroit played an A game, and Bishop played an A-plus game.
Yeah.
He's been outstanding. Really makes you wonder what they're going to do down there.
Well, there's the thought process that it's like they're going to have to move out Monty sooner or later, and Vasilevsky's going to be the guy. And I'm sure you agree that he can be the guy. But if you're going to walk away from that goaltender, he's the real deal, and he's good right now.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like that in Anaheim. All of a sudden, Freddie Anderson walks in, and you forget about John Gibson. And it kind of feels almost like a Price-Halak situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if Gibson or Vasilevsky are necessarily going to be Carey Price, but I think you might argue Anderson and Bishop are better than Halak. So what do they do in both spots?
Well, if I remember back to that, like, Halak's performance in that playoffs, it seemed to me, anyway, like that was as good as he could possibly play. And the Carey Price, you know, he still had that look like, man, that's a star. You know, that there was lots of upside for Price still. And I would say in both cases, you can look at Gibson and Vasilevsky and see lots to love in both of them. One other factor I think we need to take advantage or need to take account of is starting next year, I think, anyway, it's next year they're going to be ready, is that they're all going to be in new gear. Like, how is that going to affect how those guys play? Like, are they going to be the same? Or are they going to be a little different? I think the Noodles, there's probably going to be some goalies they're going to have to get to work and refine some of their technique because they're not going to be as big in there.
Yeah, I think my
biggest... Is that going to be a big factor?
It will be, I think, on average or below average, or just basically average goalies. Like Ben Bishop, like the elite goalies in the league, they're still going to be able to stop pucks. All they're going to have to do is just realize where, you know, where the holes are or how to close them up a little bit. It's not going to change their style. I just think that you're going to be able to see the difference between Jonathan Quick's body type and Ryan Miller's body type. And, you know, right. the more rounded. And so, you know, Ryan Miller's not, because he's thinner, he's not going to change his game. But, you know, his post play will have to be a little bit more pushed over. Like, there'll be things that he'll have to adjust to if there isn't that surface coverage that you had before. But, you know,
so you don't think like in evaluating a Gibson or a Vasilevsky, because that's what we're doing here, you don't think that'll be a big factor for either of those guys?
I think they're both highly skilled. They will have to adjust to the size of gear and maybe the way they wear it, because, you know, a lot of guys wear longer pads as long as possible, and they put them on top of their toe boot so that they can push the five hole closed when they're down in that butterfly save. That type of stuff, if you take some of that, the length of that away, not the width. The width is 11 inches. I think you could shave another inch off there, but, you know, quite honestly, I think that the length of the pad is something that can be dealt with. You know, that type of stuff, you will see some holes, but I maintain that the high-end goaltender will always be the high-end goaltender, but if he's averaging 2.1 goals against right now with the big gear or the gear that is a little bit too big, then maybe it may be 2.4 or 5 with the little smaller gear, but they're still going to be the elite. It's
right.
it's the middle of the road guys who use it as surface coverage and get hit by pucks and not make saves. That's where it's going to affect those guys. And I don't think Gibson or Vasilevsky falls into that.
So, you know, to both of those teams too, part of the decision, or almost all of the decision, is going to be how are we going to shovel all these guys in under the cap? And so if you have to, Ben Bishop's got 1 year left, I think, at 5'9"-ish, somewhere in there. Like, where is he going to, what is he going to want money-wise? And then look at that list of guys that they have to sign. And, of course, the first one's going to be Stamkos. If Stamkos doesn't sign, well, you have his $7.8 million of cap space that you can spread out among three or four players that they've got to get signed, the Killorns and Kucherovs and Palats and Hedmans. You know, like, that money's going to get eaten up before you even get to Bishop.
Right.
And if you do sign them, I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's a good spot to be in. You got all these good players.
And you got to think of expansion. If they decide to, you know, head down that road, a year from now you're going to be having to protect one of these guys. And, you know, I think there's a lot of decisions. There'll be a lot of musical chairs for goaltending this summer.
You know what? Somebody brought up when Tampa came into the league, that's when Buffalo got Dominic Hasek, because they lost Pupa. They needed somebody else. They traded for Grant Fuhr, and they ended up with Hasek somehow. I mean, I'm pretty sure nobody thought they were getting a Hall of Famer. But that was all around the expansion draft. Like, man, there's going to be some pretty interesting moves then.
Most certainly will. It's going to be a great offseason. Well, we got to fly, buddy, but we'd be remiss not to give you a shout-out. The 11th greatest WHL player of all time.
Yes.
The 11th greatest. I think you should have been in the top five, but that's just me.
I agree.
Enjoy that. Have a good weekend, buds.
Thanks, Ol. Thanks for your sincerity. Now, fortunately for me, I didn't have any super erratic wingers.
Right.
You know, like you know, their scouting report would have been good passers, good guys, good workers, not top five talent, but sometimes totally erratic. You know, I didn't have that to deal with.
One of the few inconsistent players in the draft, I believe, was an exact quote from Bob McKenzie on Jeff O'Neill.
But thank you. That was it was pretty cool to be on there. It's a long time ago, but that's it's kind of nice to be recognized for sure.
That's unreal, man. Thousands of players have rolled through that league. Top 11, that's a pretty good spot to be in. So
a little bit of ass kissing here and there, you get on the list,
man. It happens.
Yeah, have a good weekend, buds.
All right, buddy. We'll do a Monday.
I guess you weren't kissing enough ass, eh?
When does the OHL list come out?
I don't know, but I'll have Bobby McKenzie on the job for me.
Oh, yeah.
Bob's going to have to be busy, that's for sure.
Bob will get you outranked. You'll be off the list if Bob starts talking about you.
He will.
Anyway.
Have a great weekend, guys.
There he is. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst on Overdrive, was a presentation of CRSO Joint Formula 14. Steve Phillips will join us, our TSN 1050 Blue Jays analyst. We'll ask him about this Chris Colabello story. Colabello suspended for 80 games for testing positive for the usage of a PED. And he's claiming ignorance on it, but not going to change the rule here.
And
no.
He got these from our boys, Hans and Franz. If we can hear that little sting.
Once again, I am Hans.
John, I am Franz, and we are here to pop
you off.
Yes. Because apparently the drug that he was testing positive for was developed by Eastern German scientists.
Wow.
And when you go down the East German road, listen, they'll pump you up every time.
You up.
They will do so, but it's not usually the cleanest source.
No. You're like coming back from that.
When you're going back 30 years and deep, you know, just...
We're talking about, you know, an eyebrow from ear to ear and who knows what, a third eye, like that type
of
stuff.
You wake up with a horn growing out of your head and it's just who knows what can happen.
But you can launch balls to left.
The shot, but plus, wasn't it more for like shot putters? Or I always thought that shot putters were the ones that were on the sauce.
You look into the 200-pound dumbbells when you get on the East German drugs.
That's right. Well, it was always the swim team, too. The swim team would show up and they would just... lap everybody.
Yeah.
Like the Michael Phelps of the 80s would show up and the East German dude would be like, sorry, dude, you are not keeping up with me.
No.
So, anyway, we'll get you more of an update on that, and Steve Phillips will join us and we'll get his two cents on where the Jays go from here and what this could mean for Chris Colabello's career from here on out. Steve will join us next.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
All right, Steve Phillips will join us here in a moment, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst. So the big news today, Chris Colabello suspended 80 games for testing positive for a PED. And he released a statement saying that I guess he received a call from the Players Association on March 13th where he was notified, hey, you got clipped here. So he's been living with this for quite some time. I would assume they went through with some sort of an appeal process and it took a while and that's why we're only hearing about it today.
Or wouldn't you... I mean, for me, I don't know. If I tested positive, I would ask for a retest. So you probably go in again. I mean, even though you get clipped again if it's still in your system. But maybe go through that process and
cross your fingers.
Yeah.
Basically. I'm sure that's what happened because if it didn't happen that way, I would think we would have heard about it March 14th.
Right.
All of a sudden, why not just get out in front of this before the season even begins?
Exactly.
Clearly, he was hoping somehow this would turn in his direction, but it didn't.
I don't know. I just don't know. In today's world, with all the training, I guess, information and trainers that help you, everyone has a personal trainer. So either it's the personal trainer that's given him the stuff and said, you know what, this is not on the banned list. But you have to know the difference between the ban list and not. And I think it's on the player. Whatever you put into your body is your responsibility, and own it.
And he's decided he's not going to own it. He's going with the integrity line, and I would never do this knowingly. I play baseball too much.
Right.
Ross Atkins, the GM of the Jays, just came out and spoke a little bit about it. Here's what he had to say about how long he's known about the positive test.
Well, I've known about it for some time now. You know, he told me about it in Tampa, what he was going through, and obviously it's an issue that's a lot bigger than him. It's an issue that needs to be addressed by Major League Baseball, and it's extremely unfortunate. You know, in some way, I feel like, you know, Chris being able to tell everyone lifted a huge burden off him. I think it's an extremely tough secret to hold on to for a long time.
So, obviously, Colabello was the one that went to him and said this is the way it's playing out and this is what happened. But
right.
Atkins saying it's bigger than Colabello, it's a Major League Baseball issue. I'm not sure where he's going with that necessarily, but he's in a bit of a bind here because
right.
Colabello is still a Blue Jay. And in 80 games, he'll be eligible to return, and he's a part of the team. He's not a massive part of the team, but he is a part of the team. He's a glue guy, too. Apparently a really great guy in the clubhouse. So he wants to be careful to make sure that he doesn't completely throw Colabello under the bus, but he also has to understand that he can't come out and start launching grenades at Major League Baseball because ultimately that's really who employs him here. The ownership employs him, and these are the rules.
The proof is in the urine.
Right. Like, you tested positive. What are you going to do?
Like, it's, you know, that's why I'm saying I would love to know the process behind the scenes for that transaction. I know in hockey there's different protocols, but that type of transaction, if it's cut and dry, hey, here's the urine, it's tested for this, it's come back positive, like, you're caught. That's it.
Let's bring in Steve Phillips, former MLB GM, our TSN 1050 baseball analyst. This Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. Steve, when you were a GM, did you ever have one of your players get clipped for PEDs?
I didn't. You know, I was a general manager in the steroid era of baseball, and it wasn't until 2003 when they had the anonymous testing that if it were greater than the 5%, that they were going to institute unilateral testing across the board, and they ended up getting 7% of players testing positive when they knew they were being tested. Like, they knew the tests were coming, but they didn't think they'd get in trouble and figure out, you know, as long as we stay under 5%, it won't be an issue. So, we tested for drugs in the minor leagues. Now, we tested for drugs of abuse and steroids in the minor leagues because there's no union to get in the way of that. But at the major league level, they were just instituting the drug testing when I was on my way out. But obviously, I followed this very closely and understand the process that, you know, Colabello found out in March about this and, you know, went through a process of appeal that they don't announce the positive test until you appeal it and go through it. And they'll run a second test on the sample. Here's the thing is there are times when I do believe that players take something that they don't know necessarily has steroids in it, but, you know, it does. And there's nobody to blame but themselves for that. And I like Chris Colabello a lot. He is a very sympathetic figure. I mean, he's a journeyman guy. You know, he paid his dues in independent leagues, kind of working his way through the bushes to get an opportunity. But in the end, you know, nobody's responsible but him for what goes in his body. And positive drug tests don't lie. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but it is what happened.
He had a career year last year. He's been awful early in the season. He's batting. He's got like a 69 batting average. He's been terrible. How do you think this might affect the way the Jays approach him when he returns in terms of how much faith they'll have in him actually being an impact player?
Well, you know, he's a really likable guy. And you could hear, by the way, the organization is handling it with Ross Atkins and others, that, you know, they're trying to be nice about it, but it's disappointing. It's frustrating. It compromises the depth of the organization. And I don't think, you know, there aren't scholarships in this sort of situation, and there definitely aren't scholarships when you're a role player on a team. So, you know, he loses his job and the opportunity to somebody else for the next 80 days. And I think his future is really going to be dictated by who replaces him and their performance and how well they do. So, it's not a matter of, after 80 days, the spot's being held for him. He's not in that point in his career to be able to do that. There's not a commitment contractually that's locking them up. Think, well, geez, we got him locked up to a long-term contract. We're going to have to play him. I think that it comes down to performance. If they need him, they'll bring him back. And if they don't, then he'll find his way down to the minor leagues and hope to hook on with somebody else at some point.
With Steve Phillips, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst, we're discussing the news today. Chris Colabello suspended 80 games by Major League Baseball for testing positive for PEDs. I found it very interesting the way he decided to approach this with his statement. He came out and said he has no idea how or why this happened, and he's a man of integrity, and he wouldn't do that to baseball and his teammates. This is a spiel that we've heard many players use before. And more often than not, in the end, they come out and say, all right, you know what? It happened. You caught me. And let's move on from this. We saw that clearly with Ryan Braun. We've seen it with A-Rod before. We've seen it with Lance Armstrong in a different sport. If you were the GM here, how would you have maybe steered this? Or what kind of a suggestion would you have made to Colabello in terms of how honest he should be with this statement?
Yeah, I think it's up to the player, first of all, because it's their reputation, it's their public perception. And, you know, I don't ever look at when a player tests positive, I don't blame an organization for that. You know, because I know, having been the guy in charge, I'm not with them all the time. And my job was to educate players on PEDs, was to educate them so that they could make the appropriate decisions and do the right thing. But, you know, you're not babysitters. So I would just let him handle it the way he could. I'd always tell him to tell the truth. And the bottom line is this, is that, you know, depending upon how you perceive the world and how you perceive players and how cynical you are or how trusting you are, you know, some people will think, you know what, I believe them, and it's an unfortunate circumstance. Other people will say, yeah, okay, whatever. And if you're not going to do that, you're just saying, I don't know how it happened. And we all kind of look at it and say, well, how do you not know what you put in your body? Some people can understand that. And so, you know, I tend to look at it and say, I believe them. I don't have any reason not to believe them. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't change whether or not he's going to be suspended. You know, the idea of a player testing positive, the joint drug policy says nothing about you knowingly taking the drug or not. If it's in your body, you're responsible for it. So I believe him. I feel badly for him. And even if I'm naive and at some point later it comes back and it finds out that, you know, he lied, I'm not going to feel bad about it, about me. I'll feel bad for him that he felt like he had to lie about it. But, you know, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I also completely understand there's no place holding in this game. You know, you shuffle your feet, lose your seat, and he just shuffled his feet. And he may very well find that there's no seat there when he comes back.
Yeah, I think you're likely in the minority when it comes to that mentality, Steve. I'm naturally cynical because baseball and the players have done this to themselves. You know, they're the ones that claimed ignorance forever and then, yeah, okay, yeah, you got me, it happened. So for me, I mean, as unfair as it might sound, I'm always guilty until proven innocent when it comes to this kind of stuff. And we'll see. We'll see what happens here with Colabello. Again, he sounds like a really good guy. We've had the luxury of interviewing him multiple times. A really fun interview. Sounds like a glue guy in a clubhouse.
Yeah.
But I wonder how this affects the bigger picture situation from Shapiro and Atkins in terms of them continuing to go for it, so to speak, this year, where you've got a situation here now where you're starting first baseman, even though Smoke's been playing really well and Smoke can hit righties and it was a platoon situation. This guy isn't Donaldson or Bautista or Pilar or anything like that, but still a regular day ball player for you. He's out of the picture for the next 80 games. The bullpen continues to be shaky. They've got no catching depth beyond Russell Martin. Where's your head at in terms of Shapiro and company willing to move young, valuable pieces to win now? Do you think they're in the headspace where they're willing to do that this season?
Well, a couple things. First, I don't think that Mark Shapiro will mortgage the future to win now, regardless of the Chris Colabello situation. You know, I don't look at the Colabello situation as, if I were the general manager, I'd be like, well, it's unfortunate, bit of a headache to have to deal with it. But you know what? He wasn't hitting all that well anyways. And, you know, I would have already been thinking, okay, well, if he doesn't start to hit, what are we going to do here? Where am I looking? What am I going to do to try to find some alternatives? And because, you know, he's a low-cost guy, it's not going to cost you a lot to take him off the roster to give somebody else a shot. Would have been thinking about what am I doing because he hasn't been hitting all that well. And I would have given him more time, but I would have already been down that road thinking about what to do. I honestly don't think – look, it's an issue. It's some noise. But I don't think it's going to impact the ultimate outcome of the 2016 one way or the other. He was not the linchpin around which everything was going to fold. And, you know, you can play Encarnacion at first base. You can mix and match a little bit, give guys a day off to let them DH. Not the worst situation in the world when Devin Travis comes back to play some second base. Goins can play some shortstop and Tulowitzki can DH some. So there's a lot of different things that they're going to be able to do, none of which make me panicked at all about the season for the Jays.
Great stuff as always, Steve. Thank you for doing this. We'll do it next week.
Okay, my pleasure, guys.
This Baseball Insider was brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, conveniently located at the QEW in Trafalgar Road in Oakville. Jack Armstrong will join us in the 6 p.m. hour. We still got to get to future headlines as well.
Yep.
We had a lot of things to get to here. Noodles, you're kicking around until 7?
I'm here. Let's get it on.
Let's get rocking here, man.
I know. We got to have some big music coming back.
Big music coming back. It's a Friday. People are blowing off steam.
I forget it's Friday. Everything kind of molds together, but it's Friday.
Well, you're a happy man because you've got an empty house this weekend.
I know. We
got
to get into this.
All right. We'll talk a little bit about that, too. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
This is the song you pick. Of every song possible, you go with this one.
I told them, I said, let's just go with some old school rock, maybe a little Bruce Springsteen, like just something to. So this is a great tune. You don't like this tune?
Yeah, it's a good tune, but I don't think it would be
my go-to
pick.
What were you thinking, like Kim Mitchell?
We could do Kim Mitchell at some point.
We have to have Kim Mitchell.
We could do Springsteen at some point.
You
lots
never
of
ever
options.
Throw your name in the hat for music.
All right, I'll pick some songs in the next hour.
Yeah, throw some music in there and hear what you want to hear so that you get fired up and then we come out guns blazing.
Well, man, I'm having a tough time because this weekend, it's going to be a tough weekend for me. I am envious of you because your wife and daughter happen to be in Miami, so they're gone. So you've got a free house to do whatever you want.
I've got a free house, and I've been looking, like, just parading around for people like drinks. Drinks, anybody drinks, and like feathers. Everyone's busy. Tomorrow night, I know what the plan is, but tonight I've got nothing. So I'm probably going to just chill and rest up for tomorrow. But boy, there was a lot on the table. I was looking for takers, and nobody was biting.
Hey, gear up for tomorrow night. There's nothing wrong with that.
And I like doing double headers, though.
You're a vet. I understand that. But I would be quite envious of just simply one single night.
And doing nothing?
Yeah, I would be envious of both ends of the spectrum. Having a house on your own to literally parade around and do whatever you want, sleep. And
yeah.
I'm so envious of that. And on the second end of it, going out and doing whatever you're going to do. Because I got hit right square between the eyes today.
Really?
With reality. Yeah, because like four or five of my goon buddies up like an email chain this morning. A couple of them want to play golf tomorrow. It's supposed to be a pretty nice day.
Fire up the barbecue.
Then get the barbecue going and then get the drinks hopping.
Wow.
And maybe hit the town and really put on a show.
Yeah.
And my plan tomorrow is we've got a birthday party in the late afternoon.
For like a one-year-old?
A two-year-old. Our friends Christina and Adam, their daughter Nora, is two. So we love Nora. We love Christina and Adam. And we're going to be bombing out there. And we'll be there early and often and enjoying it.
Ugh. But kids' parties are a gong show.
They can be a gong show. Well, they always are a gong show. And we're bringing a kid this time, right? So we've got our own kid who will be drooling all over the
loud
place.
And crying. Everyone's crying. There's always a kid crying. And it's loud. Believe me, I go there.
And tomorrow night, we are sleep training for the first time. So tomorrow night is night one of sleep training. So
I don't know.
While my buddies are out doing God knows what, while you're out doing God knows what, I will be pulling my hair out and grinding through
You never know,
the first night.
The kids, you get all worked up for this sleep training, and then all of a sudden, you never know. You could get lightning in a bottle, and the kid goes to sleep in like 7 minutes.
There's no chance.
I'm telling you, that's what happened to me. Get all worked up for it. The kid was out in like 7 minutes, didn't wake up.
How did she pull that off?
I don't know. I wasn't really that concerned. I wasn't like crying and stuff. The other fool was. The mom, everyone had to come over. It was like a big thing, and everyone was all worked up. I was just sitting on the couch. I'm like, the kid's going to cry. Like, it happens, you know? And
well, the problem is technology now. You've got those video
monitors.
You've got
the cameras. You've got everything. Like, the kid's not in there struggling, just a little scared and wants to be held. That's it.
Well, that's why tonight's going to be crazy, because tonight's the last night where we're going in whenever, and my wife will be just anytime she makes a noise, she'll be in there.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night, I think I might have to restrain her.
Well,
I mean, I've heard stories.
Yeah,
I've heard stories where the husband's had to like almost a rear naked choke with the wife. Like
the
you can't go in.
Chicken wing to keep them out of the room.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do to make sure they don't go in there.
Get the bouncer tackle on her, like, walking her out of the room. Like
imagine that. Like some guy just gets clipped with a domestic because he's trying to get through
sleep training.
The first night of sleep training and it just isn't going properly.
Doesn't go well.
No.
No, but, it'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Anyway, we're up on TSN 2 in the final hour. Jack yes. Armstrong will join us looking back on a big win by the Raptors last night. We'll continue with the Chris Colabello story, suspended for 80 games after getting clipped with PED use. And Showtime showed up for Chicago.
Yeah.
The Kings could be out tonight. Lots of NHL action as well in the final hour. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.